Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and today I'm chatting to Fáchna O'Donovan from Limerick. And I'll be chatting to Fáchna as usual about his years growing up, following Wolves and all the little stories he has over the years to tell me. Yes, it's hard to believe that it's only a week since I chatted to Fáchna and what's happened in between, which will be the subject of another podcast in the not too distant future. Okay, so I hope you enjoy my little chat with Fáchna. Well, Fáchna, how are you?
How are you, Tony? How are you getting on?
Grand, grand, grand. Yourself, working away?
Oh, no, not so bad. Right side out. Right side out, Tony.
Work on okay, yeah?
Yeah, just fine. We're busy. Kept going. It's pretty busy these days now.
Yeah.
The day goes fast.
That's the main thing. Rather than things slow, they'll slow down eventually, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mayor, just to get things moving, first question for you, Fáchna. How did you discover the wonderful Wolves?
I suppose I'm sporting Wolves about 44, 45 years, and I was a goalkeeper under 10, and I did the old gold and black jersey. That was the keeper's jersey.
Yeah.
So I just liked the colour, and I suppose nearly everyone, all my buddies were Man United or Liverpool, so I just began supporting Wolves to be different. And when I was about 12 or 13... Do you know, I think it was mentioned earlier on that it's very hard to get results or anything up to date on Wolves. And my mum used to work part-time as a telephone operator. She worked 10, 12 hours a week.
Yeah.
So the odd midweek, Tony, she'd put me through. Maybe she shouldn't, but she did. And just for an update on the match, I was, you know, it was gas. They couldn't believe that I was ringing from Ireland. So, yeah, it was always Wolves.
Yeah. And... was it a while before you actually managed to get over to a game?
Yeah, my first game, I think it was around 17, 1984-85, the loss to Barnsley 1-0.
Yeah.
That was the old Division 2. And like Wolverhampton back then, you know, Molineux was very run down. But yeah, the last 1-0, and I remember the two Barnsley buses leaving after the match, giving us the fingers up. So that was my first experience, yeah.
Things got better over the years anyway. But
yeah.
So that wasn't one of your memorable games anyway. What would your kind of standout games be over the years that you've been at?
I suppose 2004 was at the Wolves-Man United match, Kenny Miller. We were in the temporary stand in the South Bank, and it was just electric. It was brilliant. It was so my brother was there, and his young lad, they were supporting Man United, and Gary's young lad, when young at the time, Gary was with me. So
yeah,
we had a great day. And I suppose the other one then was 2003 against Sheffield United in Cardiff.
Oh, you were at that, yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was incredible. There was a great buzz, you know, from start to finish. It was good crack.
Yeah.
There are probably two most memorable games.
And just on you were saying there about ringing up the club and all that for results. You had that little avenue into the club back in those days. But did you do something to help out the troubled club in the 80s as well, I believe?
Yeah. Was it 1985-86? It was the time the Vatti brothers, the property dealers in Wolverhampton. And
yeah,
I suppose they'd run Wolves into the ground. They thought there were 800,000 in debt at the time, but in reality, there were 4 million.
Yeah.
So I owed £20 in the credit union, the local credit union, and I sent that over to the club. And I have a letter back from Wolverhampton at the time thanking me my efforts keeping the club afloat, my £20 against 4 million.
Yeah.
So,
Was it signed by the Batties? Yeah.
Yeah, it's gas.
That's pretty good. Oh, Lord. Yeah, so over the years, who would your favourite opposition, Wolves opposition, be? We look forward to seeing us playing against.
I suppose I used to love Leeds, just beating Leeds.
Yeah.
A lot of the lads, I know maybe 4 or 5 lads, and over the years they're diehard Leeds fans. I suppose Wolves have a great record against Leeds.
Yeah.
So the slagging is good, and yeah, it's good to beat Leeds. Good to beat Leeds.
Stuff. Yeah, and have you got to many away matches over the years, Fatna?
Yeah, I've got to a few games. I suppose my favourite away day was the 2009 beating Nottingham Forest in the City Ground. I think there was about 5,000 Wolves fans that day. But
yeah,
Michael Coakley scored in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We travelled in convoy from Molineux, maybe 15 or 18 coaches.
Yeah.
So it was mental that Wolves got promoted, but it was... there's something about an away game, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is like a brother and, you know, yeah, family. There's a great buzz, you know.
And you're in the minority, so, you know, as you say, people always wonder why, you know, you've 3,000 or 4,000 at an away game and, they're, you know, you can be heard. And then it's at home ground, sometimes it can be very quiet, you know, when you have 30,000 or 35,000, you know. It's funny,
yes,
but
yeah,
the away crowd is just, yeah, you know, because we were at Forest, I think, there about 6-7 years ago when we beat them, Sacco. I think he sacked off two. But we were in the corner. It was the Easter trip. I don't know whether you weren't there that day. But we had a good crew over that day. And again, just being in the corner, and we actually scored at the end, we were at, you know, so...
Yes. Right.
Yeah, so we can see that. That's why we'd be asking, because the away games, they're always kind of, they stick out in
especially
when you win.
So, yeah.
So I was going to ask you, it's favourite players over the years.
Yeah, I've maybe a strange one to a lot of people, but one of my favourite players is Andy Mutch.
Yeah.
I just don't think at the time, or still, he doesn't get enough credit for what he should have got. Looking at his record, he scored nearly 100 goals, and it was 98 goals in something like 298 matches.
Yeah.
And actually, we met him in the supporters' lounge. Molineux there. You were there yourself.
Yeah.
And he just came across as a nice guy. He spoke very well and very friendly. And you know, like Bully, obviously, he was, you know, the top man, but Andy Mutch did a lot of great things as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I used to enjoy Georgie Berry as well. Georgie Berry,
yeah,
our Welsh international.
Yeah, true, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. John Richards, I suppose, obviously. I have a memory there going back, a bad day, I suppose. My the time Wolves were playing Liverpool, last game of the season. And I don't know what year it was, but I was maybe about 10 or 11 years, Tony, of age.
Yeah.
My dad was shaving inside in the bathroom. I was sitting on the edge of the bat, and BBC Radio 2 was on commentating.
Yeah.
If Wolves won that match, they'd stay up
in
the old First Division. Liverpool had to win, or Queen's Park Rangers would win the league.
Yeah.
And I think Steve Kendon scored in the first half. And in the second half, Liverpool opened up. Tasha got two, I think, and Keegan maybe. It was 3-1.
Yeah.
But I went to bed anyway, tears rolling down my face. So that was...
Yeah.
That's a bad day.
A few people have mentioned that game, actually. Yeah, it's something that these days that Sky dream of, you know, having a game at the end of the season where both teams have something to play for, you know. I mean, it doesn't seem to happen too often anymore. Everything seems to be decided half a dozen games before the end of the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people have talked about that game as being a classic. Yeah. Winner takes all and loser gets nothing, you know.
And the other bad one, Tony, was I was the time Wolves were well ahead in the league. They lost to West Brom, the Baggies. Michael Oakes was in goals, and we were in the South Bank that day. It was a deflected goal. As a result, I think West Brom went up in the playoffs. Or no, they went straight up, and we lost in the playoffs to Norwich.
Yeah. That was the
2001, I think.
The choke season, they call that, wasn't it?
Yes, that was it.
That was my memory of that season was, and I mean, again, as you were saying, it was just from afar. You're watching results, you're watching CFAX and teletext and for updates on scores. And I remember being in a friend's house, and he had a portable in the kitchen, and it was coming up to 4:30, and flicked it on and see, you know, the way it went from page 1, 2, 3, and wait for it to come all the way back around again to see. And I thought we were at home to Grimsby. And Grimsby were 1-0 up. And I looked and the results came through and it finished. We lost 1-0.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, as I say, I'd been following results, scores and all that. But it just kind of hit me then. I said, you know, that's it. You know, We've messed it up, you know. And it's just that game. Of all the games, that, I mean, I think it was about 10 or 11 games before the end of the season. It was all over those games. We collapsed, you know. But
Such a pity, but sure enough.
But the memory, the one that's always terrible to drag up, the memory that you have of Wolves that you'd rather forget, the day you'd rather forget. Do you have any of those?
Well, that was one of them, Tony, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose the losing the FA Cup semi-final, I wasn't at it, but that was a sickener. That was a sickener.
Yeah.
It was, other than that, there's no, you know, you kind of get used to losing over the years. So anytime we win, it's kind of, it's a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, true, yeah. Just that one of the questions, I know you mentioned a couple of things to me, but one of the questions I normally ask is, after players, who your favorite manager is, but before you tell me who your favorite manager is, I believe you could have been your own favorite manager at one stage.
2001, Tony, Colin Lee was manager at the time. He got sacked, and we were in the pub one evening, and of course after a few beers, and I said, I'm going to apply for the Wolves job. And of course, we had a good old giggle through the lads, and I says, we're going to go for this. So I wrote down my CV, my past experience managing schoolboy teams in Limerick. And I got a Dear Linda letter back acknowledging my application and that David Jones had been given the position. So months later, I was at a Wolves game, met David Jones in the players' lounge and showed him the letter, and he had a right chuckle. He was asking me, what did I do as a job, like, you know, in real time. So, that was funny. That was a good one.
Yeah.
And another one then was in 1995. We went to, six of us went over to Wolves and Luton. My dad was with me, actually, and one of his buddies, and we went into the Fetters pub.
Yeah.
Do you know, just closed now, but one of my mates at the time, he loved ballad songs, and I warned him. I said, you know, times were, you know, different, you know, to ease up, don't be start singing. Yeah. And a sing song started.
Yeah.
And the barman jumped over the counter and says, there hasn't been a sing song here in 17, 18 years since I buried my brother. This is brilliant. And joined us. And put a girl in behind the counter pulling pints. And there was the London Wolves supporters club.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe there was six paddies over and presented us with the. They were the match ball sponsors, so they gave us the match ball that day. So they were just shocked we'd come over from Ireland. It was nice touch.
That's very good. Yeah. But it was either the case that you were going to get beaten up or that you were popular. So you were popular. So that was you came out the right end of that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just on the managers, who would have been your favourite managers over the years then?
Even like Sammy Chung, go back to Sammy Chung.
Yeah.
I don't think Kenny Jackett got enough credit as much as he should have got. You know, he was a nice man, maybe too nice of a man.
Yeah.
Dave Jones as well. He went through a lot of private and public bad publicity on the papers, and they'd go through, which, you know, was a terrible thing. You know, he was tainted, which is not nice. And anytime we met him, he was a pure gentleman, and, you know, welcomed us all over, and it was great. So, yeah.
Yeah, because he did. Yeah, he went through a tough with Southampton, wasn't it? Where all the all the rumours and it. Yeah, no, it wasn't a very nice.
I suppose Mick McCarthy did. I got to know Mick, or he got to know me, maybe in a funny way. I suppose over the years, get to know the Wolves managers and the secretary. The same secretary was there for years.
Yeah.
So I sent an email to Mick's secretary, just listing about 18 goals the Wolves had conceded at corners with no man at the front post, Tony.
Yeah.
So I named the teams, the dates, virtually the minute of the goal, you know. So I ran a bus from one of the pubs here in Limerick. We went down, Wolves were playing Wexford Utes.
Yeah.
Down in Ferdicarrig Park, beautiful spot now.
And yeah.
Mick Wallace welcomed us down as the Wolves supporters, and we had beers and food and the works. But we met the players and Mick after the game, and I saw he kind of looked at me and said, Faulkner, that's an unusual name that rings a bell. He says, you the fella that's sending me these emails talking about conceding goals and not putting the man at the front post. So I started laughing. He said, look, football's all about opinions, which is bang on. So there was no answer to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's gone back a long time, but about 4 months ago, there was a match on TV. I don't know what match it was, but he was commentating. I think it was on TV3 or something.
Yeah.
And whoever conceded at a corner, he just came out and he says, I can't understand why managers do not put players at the front post when they're defending corners. So I went, my mouth was open. So I said, well, I don't believe he's after saying that. So I got a few texts from some lads to say, did you see Mick there, what he's after saying? So yeah, it was ironic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I suppose, in fairness, he does so much commentary. He probably says an awful lot of things that, you know, and gives an awful lot of advice to teams that he actually probably missed out on himself in games, you know. But,
You know, exactly.
I mean, he was a great manager.
That's right, yeah. Another thing, I suppose, I wrote another letter, and all my letters, but the time Wolves were playing Man United in an FA Cup match, I think third round, and we travelled over. You could have been there yourself, Tony. But Wolves put out a reserve team because we were playing Burnley the following Saturday.
That was that was the Christmas game in Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was early December. I was in the United. I was in the United end, close to the Wolves fans that night. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I can understand, I suppose, the bigger picture, but I just stated that they must understand fans are travelling far and you're paying your hotels and your flights and whatever and you want to see the first team out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose you got it right in the end.
Yeah. I travel. I didn't know. I got a text from my son that night when I arrived in Old Trafford. And I mean, I'd cut it fine. I'd arrived in Manchester, got the train and dropped herself off in Manchester. And the train actually went out to Old Trafford. It was probably an hour before kickoff. And he arrived on the ground. I got a text from his son, the team, you know. And the players that were playing that night, that Austrian lad, centre forward, that never did it for us. I think he was playing centre forward that night. And I was just, and he knew straight away, you know. And then I was looking at the message, I was battling with a guy. I was looking for a programme. And he was trying to sell me a program and a pin badge and a magazine. And no, I just want a program.
Disappointing. Yeah.
But, you know, so, yeah, it was just one of those things. But again, I suppose, dare I mention that the Southampton game with Nuno there, the cup game, he did something similar. And then we won the league game. So I suppose all's well that ends well, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We beat Burnley the following Saturday, so kept us up.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So on the old memorabilia front, I believe you have a few things of interest.
Yeah, well, basically what I mentioned there, I suppose the letter from the Vatti brothers, I mentioned that, and applying for the job. Anytime I go to a match, Tony, over the years, I have an old gold and black scarf. It must be 30 years old now at this stage, even more. But I always get a badge, whatever match I'm at, home or away. Even when Wolves come over to Ireland, the time of Bray or Blancork City, just a little badge, a metal badge.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I enjoy looking back over the years. You know, when you look at a badge, you think of the day or the night away and you get a few memories and you get a few laughs out of it. So, yeah. A simple little thing, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. As I say, I have a scarf of about 20 or 30 badges from over the years on my scarf as well. As I always say, it's class. You're going into the ground and they're looking for a bottle of water or something that you might have, you know, as a weapon. I say, that scarf would probably be a lethal weapon, you know, and they never question it. Like the amount of metal on it, like, you know, if you hit somebody with it, they'd know about it, you know.
Yeah. But I went through the airport. Yeah.
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 But do you have any other gems?
Other than that, no, just the match ball. It's 1995, but it's still in good old nick. You know, I have to pump it up ever so often. But that Luton match, it's just nice to have it. Like,
Was it signed by the players?
Oh, signed by the players. Yeah,
the whole lot.
It was the London Wolves Supporters Club. Yeah,
yeah.
So and what was I think you were asking there about the last game in Molineux there. It was the charity.
That was my next question.
The Liverpool match. We lost 2-1.
Yeah,
that was a. Jimenez scored that night. It was a great cross by Traore, but that was electric that night. The atmosphere was brilliant, Tony.
Yeah.
It was brilliant, but a game they didn't deserve to lose. I think Liverpool, everything went from that season.
Yeah.
Everything. So, injuries, everything. You know, it's just one of those seasons. Like,
yeah, they seem to be in a bit of a bogey team for us in the last couple of years. Like, you know, we looked too close. A couple of close games at Anfield. You know, VAR intervening in them, and you know, the home games. I think that the first season back, I think they fairly well beat us. But last season, that 2-1 was agonisingly close, I think, is what you'd say, you know?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so just on getting towards the end, I suppose, with next season coming up, what are you hoping we'll be doing next season?
Just hoping that the players stay injury free, Jimenez and comes back as good as new.
Yeah.
You know, they're massive losses, and you know, when you look at a team, and you're losing four or five players compared to last season.
Yeah.
Could do with a new blood as well, Tony. Maybe a commanding centre half. We have defenders, but originally they're midfielders.
Yeah.
And trying to play centre half is just obviously a different position, but it's just a mind way of thinking.
Yeah.
So yeah, just Jimenez, I just a knock like that. It's more mental. And until he puts his head down like an Andy Gray when he goes in a diving head or something, and the boots are flying.
Yeah.
Until he gets that knock in the head and he comes out of it 100% to give him that confidence, because he's a massive loss.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt, you know, you could only see it in games that, and I mean, I'd be forced to say I watched him in games over the last 3 years, and you know, at times like he'd be on his own up front, and he wouldn't seem to be doing a lot, and you know, and you're kind of getting, like, you know, he covered a huge amount of ground, put in an awful lot of work, you know, and it'll be great to see him. I said it's a bit like, I think it was the Everton game last season away, where he scored a goal. He actually got a kick in the head when he headed the ball. I think it was the equaliser. Yeah. And, you know, so they're the kind of, you wonder, were they the kind of challenges that'll be going through his mind, you know, when he's starting back, and will he?
You need a target man, don't you? And like Fabio, is 18 years of age.
Yeah.
A lot of money, 35 million, but
yeah,
you know, he hasn't the physique yet. He can be just blown off or thrown off the ball easy enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's hopefully to get him back injury free and as good as new.
I suppose too, it'd be nice next season if we settle on a proper system. We've been kind of flitting between one and the other, you know, five at the back or four at the back this year. So do you think, which system do you think we'll end up settling on? Then I'll put you on the spot there now.
Yeah, no, you are. I like going back with three across the back. That's my preference. Whether Traore is going to stay this season. Sometimes he's just a headless chicken. If you got 40 million, would you take it?
Yeah.
35 million. Like, he might do one or two things in the match, but he goes missing a lot of times, and you don't know what he's going to do. I don't know. Does he know what he's going to do himself sometimes?
Yeah, and probably some of the players probably are wondering as well, you know, when he has the ball.
Yeah.
Could it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to be sitting at home watching a game, and you think, you know, he should have done this or should have done that. But I think in a lot of games, you know, I think everyone's crying out for the pass, and, you know, he takes the shot instead, and it just, you know.
Yeah.
The head goes down. But I'd say next season we'll hopefully we'll be back up there again, challenging for in the top half of the table. Probably all the factors this season of no crowds, and I think motivation has probably been Nuno's big challenge for the players, you know.
Yeah, it's a massive thing, and even with Bolly with the COVID, I'm sure it's taken a lot out of him. And looking back maybe on the goals we conceded against Burnley,
yeah,
maybe, you know, fatigue, and then you're not going to be right after 2 weeks, and it just kind of affects people in different ways. It might be long term. So it's a long time since Noon has put out the same 11 2 weeks consecutive compared to last season.
Yeah, I mean, up to last season, and probably early this season as well, I mean, the team picked itself every week, you know. All of a sudden then, you know, I mean, people were saying kind of, you know, He likes a small squad, and he's a small squad. But I mean, this year, you know, with the few extra players that we bought, ended up filling in for injured players. So the squad looked bigger, but I suppose fit players, you know, as a fit squad, we probably had 15 players at any one time, you know. So
it's hopefully just too tight. You can't afford it, you know, with injuries, you just can't afford it.
And I think probably a lot of the players that we bought at the start of this season were hoping to give them time to gel, you know. And, you know, say the likes of Marcel was probably bought to fill in for Johnny until he was fit, you know, and then Johnny gets injured again. So I think, you know, you can have the best plans in the world, but sometimes they don't fall into place, you know. So anyway, next season, onwards and upwards, hopefully.
Help of God.
Faulkner.
There was one other, you just mentioned or you said to me prior to this, football, did I play football growing up, you know?
Yeah.
Any old funny old thing, but yeah, I played with a team, Wimley Rovers here in Limerick, from under 10s to junior level.
Yeah.
So I suppose over the years, we'd say a lot of the team that started under 10 was still playing with us in junior level.
Yeah.
You know, it was a close net, it was a good guys. But we got to a National Cup quarterfinal under 17. It was called the Johnny Giles Lifestyle.
Yeah.
And Niall Quinn was playing with Manortown United.
Yeah.
I think he'd won a minor medal that year with Dublin. The hurling, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
But we'd only one bus, Tony, or sorry, one bus as I, but only one car bring us out to the match back and forth, ferrying 14, 15 players, one car. Whereas they arrived the night before, stayed in a beautiful guest house, arrived out in the pitch with a tinted window, big team coach, and all these headphones and things. So, they beat us 3-0, and I was at a Sunderland-Newcastle match a few years ago, and Quinn was there, and... Nice guy again. He just we got a chance to speak to him. And I said, we played against you one time in Limerick. And he went, yeah, we beat you 3-0. And he said it was out in a real country pitch. He knew exactly. So, But came across as a nice guy.
Yeah. He seems to be, I'd see him on telly there. Yeah. Seems to be a lovely guy. Anyway, Faulkner, I'd say we'll call that a day and a wrap. Thanks a million.
Tony.
And great to talk
to you. Much.
And hopefully. We'll be heading over sometime soon in the new season.
Help of God. Help of God. Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
None about it. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.